Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We are thankful and appreciate so much you tuning in. We hope that you listen for the duration of the program, but we intend to speak only those things from God's holy and divine word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to spend time and study on the program, please feel free to contact us at the address given either by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. You know, how could we easily mistake the time that we live in with the time that we read about during Israel's history under the authority of the king Ahab and his sons? We find that what was then is so true now. Rampant wickedness, corrupt government in rebellion against God, and every man fled from true worship of the Creator. And yet it was during this low point in Israel's history that we are introduced to a great man of faith, Jonadab. He appears only briefly in the Bible record. First, we read of him in 2 Kings 10. It's here that he joins Jehu in getting rid of the Baal worshippers in Israel. And then we hear nothing of Jonadab or his family until about 240 years later, where in Jeremiah 35, the prophet is instructed by God to bring Jonadab's descendants, who are the Rechabites, into a chamber of the temple and serve them wine. And it's then that we learn that Jonadab had made this charge, this command, to his family. And I want us to read it in Jeremiah 35, beginning with verse 6 and 7. But they say, "We will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, 'You shall drink no wine, you nor your sons forever. You shall not build a house, sow seed, plant a vineyard, nor have any of these. But all of your days you shall dwell in tents, that you may live many days in the land where you are sojourners.'" You know, when you think about that, in making this command and giving it to his family, Jonadab, I think, serves forever as an example of what people would definitely refer to today as radical parenting. You know, but yet still, Jonadab provides an example for parents that are trying to raise godly children in the perilous times that we live in. Yes, Jonadab took some very drastic steps. We're not told when Jonadab gave his family this command, this charge, but likely it was maybe before he met Jehu. It was perhaps while Ahab was still living. And if we remember anything at all about Ahab, we know that he was the most wicked king that Israel ever had. And what Jonadab does is he prohibits the use of wine. And this prohibition against wine is something that's sort of similar to what we read about concerning the Nazarite vow and being separate unto God. But why the prohibition against living in the city or planting fields and vineyards. That's a little bit more difficult to quite understand. But it could very well be possible that Jonadab associated settling down with Baal worship. The Canaanites worshiped Baal. Baal was to them the god of the storms. They would pray to Baal for rain. And so the Canaanites is the land in which Israel is now living, Israel possessed. And so it could very easily be that Israel could have come to rely instead of on Jehovah for all things. But it seemed that as Israel settled in the towns and planted their fields and their vineyards, they themselves turned to Baal for the blessings of rain of which the Israel of the Canaanites were doing. Jonadab would have none of it. Rather than to allow his family to be tempted to serve a false god, he commanded his family to dwell in tents away from the cities, and truly that is a drastic step. It's a drastic command for Jonadab to give it. It's a drastic step for Jonadab's family to execute his command and to keep his command. Jonadab lived what we might call radically. He had to. You know, imagine the hypocrisy of commanding his family to refrain from wine while asking them to pass him some. Imagine the scorn that he would have heaped on himself had Jonadab made his family dwell in tents while he lived in the city. No, Jonadab would not have lived by the different standard. Jonadab lived by the same restrictions that he placed upon his family. And if you want to see how radical he was willing to be, read again how Jonadab was willing to join with Jehu to fight against a popular government and a popular religion. Jonadab lived radically so he could command his family to live radically. But Jonadab shows the value that's behind what he is commanding. He shows the necessity of why he has placed these restrictions upon himself and upon his family. You know, children may obey the commands of their father out of duty, but rarely are those commands followed for long unless they're seen to be valuable, unless they're understood. Jonadab's family continued to live by his commandments. Think about this. Remember the first time we said we were introduced to him was in 2 Kings 10? And the next time we find is Jeremiah making mention of him in Jeremiah chapter 35. Friends, that's 240 years thereabouts. So think about this. Jonadab's family continued to live by his commands for 240 years because the last part of his charge emphasized the value of the commands. I want us to go back to Jeremiah 35, and I want us to read verse 7. You shall not build a house, sow seed, plant a vineyard, nor have any of these. For all of your days you shall dwell in tents, that you may live many days in the land where you are sojourners. See, Jonadab wasn't bullying his family. He loved his family. And he made sure to impress upon them the value of following the things that he was commanding. And, obviously, Jonadab's ways were effective. They did live many days in the land. We know from the Old Testament scriptures that the Assyrians eventually invaded Israel. That took place in about 720 B.C. They destroyed the cities. They hauled off the population and the captivity, but not Jonadab's family. You see, their nomadic style of living made it possible for them to escape to the southern kingdom, down where the kingdom of Judah was. See, they would not be punished with the idol-worshipping nation of Israel. And God blessed Jonadab's ways. Again, going back to Jeremiah 35, we see that God shows the difference between Judah's faithlessness to the Rechabites' faithfulness. The Rechabites heeded the words of their father, Jonadab, but Judah would not listen to their father. The passage here in Jeremiah 35 ends with a statement that I'd like for us to read in verse 19. In fact, let's go back up and start with verse 17. Jeremiah 35. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring on Judah and all of the inhabitants of Jerusalem all of the doom that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken to them, but they have not heard, and I have called to them, but they have not answered. And Jeremiah said to the house of the Rechabites, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all of his precepts, and done according to all that he commanded you, therefore thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not lack a man to stand before me forever. Notice that, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not lack a man to stand before me always. You know, hopefully, the application of what we're studying is clear. I hope it's apparent. We live in dangerous times, and we're trying to train our children in God's ways. But do we not understand that this is also going to require upon our part some radical measures? Are we willing to make decisions for our family that may make life more difficult, but it would help them in being holy before God? Is it too easy to settle in with the world when we should be, figuratively speaking, living in tents? Are we living examples of the radical discipleship for our children, knowing that being a disciple of Christ is a radical calling? In fact, in Luke chapter 14, notice what we read in verse 27. Jesus said, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You see, are we willing to require, are we unwilling to require radical living from our children because we're unwilling to set an example of true discipleship? Friends, let's have enough faith in God to believe that if we train our children in the ways that they hear God's ways, it will be effective. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let's have enough faith in God to believe that he will bless us, even as he did Jonadab. Our time is up. Thank you for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. Till then, we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock PM. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.